Hello, good evening. It's Friday. My name is Richard. This is Over and Over and Over Again. This is the Arsenal Women's Weekly. Slightly earlier time tonight due to TV deciding that the men have to play on a Friday evening, which is a little bit inconvenient. The letter to them's in the post to complain. I'm not it's going to make much difference, I'm sure. We've got a slightly different show for you tonight. It's a little bit earlier. We are going to be looking back at last night's game, of course, the quarterfinal victory against Aston Villa in the Continental Cup, which was a good performance and a good victory for Arsenal. We're going to discuss, obviously, all the postponements last weekend due to the frozen weather conditions and what can be done. Jonas made some good points about that, didn't he, ahead of the game yesterday. So we'll talk about that. There's an FA Cup game this weekend as well against Leeds on Sunday. So we'll have a look ahead to that as well. And the transfer window is still open. Will there be any late arrivals coming in over the next few days? We shall see. It's all going to be coming up the other side of this. Running there of Beth Mead. Beth Mead's in behind, plays it across. Caitlin Ford's going to score, and she has scored. This fast start has been rewarded for us. And joining us, as always, it is, of course, Andreas. Slightly different background and slightly different circumstances due to the Wi-Fi issues, but it's good to have you with us. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Good evening, everybody. I'm okay, but my Wi-Fi isn't okay. I don't know what the problem is. I tried everything, but I couldn't come online into the show with my computer and also not with my iPad. So I used the iPhone and here I am. I think it's not good, but better than not being in the show. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I say technical issues sometimes happen, don't they? And we have to make the best of it, which we have done. As you can see, we're a little bit short of numbers tonight. One, because obviously we have an earlier start due to the game later on, and Matt is at work. But Matt's done some special little videos for us, so he can contribute to the show, which is going to be good. And we do have a couple of new members to the channel to welcome. We've got Phil and Alan as well, both new members to the channel. So good evening to you guys. And Terry says good evening to the two new members as well. Terry says, evening, Richard, and my favourite Cockney German, Andreas. Yeah, we have a few technical issues tonight, but anyway, we'll be good. We'll get things sorted. Now, obviously, last night there was a game, a very good game. It was a good performance from Arsenal. So we might as well start looking back at that. Now, as has been the case quite often recently, Freedom Arnhem is just playing the most amazing football of her career, no doubt about it. And she is driving us on. I mean, I said last night during the game that, you know, obviously we miss Viv. Of course we do. But Frieda's come into that position and she's made light of Viv being missing, hasn't she? Let's be honest. You know, she's contributing to the team with goals. And last night, her performance was incredible, wasn't it? She absolutely ran that game from start to finish. Fully deserved her two goals. Could have maybe had one or two more. I mean, what a performance from her on her own, let alone the rest of the team. It was brilliant, wasn't she?
Yeah, Frieda was outstanding. And as much as we miss Viv in our game, I don't think that she would perform on number 10 position like Frieda does. Maybe if Viv returns, then we must think about bringing her back at number 9 in the attacking line, because Frieda and on the number 10 position, she's just fantastic. I think she's one of the best on this position in the world right now. It's of course her best season, but it seems as week to week she's better and better, and she scores a lot of goals, and she has the eye for her teammates. She has ideas. She creates chances. It was fantastic performance of Frieda, but the whole team was really good. And of course, my prediction was 3-1, but I expected a lot more problems. I think we dominated the match, and Villa was never in a position to score or to win the game. So it was only the question, when will we score? And after the second goal, the match was sealed, and There was no question that we will qualify for the next round. So I'm very satisfied with the performance.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, obviously, last season at this round, we had a few problems, didn't we, against Manchester United, and we lost. And I was a little bit apprehensive going into the game after what had happened then. And, you know, Villa have made some very good signings this window and over the last sort of year or so, that they look a much better team than they were. And I was a little bit concerned that it could be a very difficult night for us. But right from the start, really, wasn't it? We started the game on top from the first minute, and we just got at them. And they couldn't get out of their own half for the first 20 minutes of the game. We got a great goal. And then after that, it was looking like it was going to be a case of maybe missed opportunities again, wasn't it, to kill the teams off, which we've struggled for a little bit in recent weeks anyway, recent games before Christmas as well. So in the end, though, it was comfortable. And Frieda, of course, got the brilliant pass for the third goal from Caitlin Ford as well, didn't she? What a pass that was. Split the defence wide open. I mean, that was a remarkable performance all round from her, But yeah, it was comfortable. But I suppose the other good news to come out of the game was three players made their debuts, and all three of them made a real big impact, didn't they? I mean, talk about the goalkeeper first, D'Angelo, Sabrina D'Angelo. She didn't have an awful lot to do, but she looked comfortable and confident, didn't she?
Yes. The self-confidence and this calmness and she what she had to do, she did very good. And there was every time there was a cross or set piece, a corner. There was never a doubt that she could clear the situation. So and her long balls were very good. So I think it was a very good debut from her, and she showed why Jonas wanted her, and that she's really she can. Compete with Manu, and I think there are matches where she fits better to the system Jonas wants to play, and all in all, it was a very good debut from her, and I think we have a very decent goalkeeper now. Even if Manu could leave, we don't know what the goalkeeper situation will be, and so far, it's a little bit strange now. Franz Stenson is called back from loan, so we have four goalkeepers right now. So, but we don't need four goalkeepers for the rest of the season. So, there will be something in the pipeline. I think decisions that have to be made in the next days. Sabrina was really good, and I think we can all be satisfied with her performance.
No, she does. She looks a great signing, actually. And yeah, she may well be taking over from Manu as number one next season. We have got a stranger to the show. It's Harry, finally on for the first time.
Hey, guys. Yeah. It's nice. I was coming from work and I came, looked at the time. I thought, oh, it's late. Let's rush over. And I said I'd try and make it. So I wanted to really make it.
Fantastic.
No, it's good to see you.
I'm sorry about that.
No worries at all. Obviously, we talked about the game last night, first of all. I mean, we did mention Frieda Marnham's magnificent performance again. I mean, she's just, at this moment in time, she's playing unbelievable stuff, isn't she, Frieda? She's just incredible.
Frieda is, I mean, she's our star player at the moment, isn't she? She really is. I think the thing with Frieda is that she kind of almost goes unnoticed in a weird way. The way she plays, it's like she's such a workhorse, and she gets that ball from that midfield all the way to the front. She scores goals, but it's kind of, when you look at the football match, it's sort of the front that you look at, and she's this like animal. You know, she reminds me a lot of like Kim Little, her ball control, but without that sort of intricate dribbling. I mean, Kim Little would dribble around you in a telephone box like tin horses. But yes. Frieda's just, I think she reads the game extremely well. Mm-hmm. She's scoring those goals, and she's playing a really strong midfield game.
She really is. Fun. I mean, we were sort of mentioning a bit earlier that, you know, obviously we miss Viv. Of course we do. You know, she's a wonderful player. But Frieda's come in that similar position, and she's almost eased that blow of Viv being out, hasn't she, with what she's contributing in terms of goals, in terms of assists, and just her all-round performance. And it's more than we could ever have hoped for, isn't it, really? When Viv got injured, we thought that was it.
I agree. And in fact, if you remember, we saw this before when Viv was a little bit off her game earlier last year, or in the first part of the season, maybe at sort of October time, before she took a little sort of mental health break. And you really saw how Frieda was just opened it up. I mean, what was it? Who did we play? Was it Lyon?
In Lyon.
It's, you know, it's the one team that I, from my perspective, I was thinking, oh no, we haven't got, you know, Viv, and you know, Frieda's there, and what's going to happen? It's Lyon. It's the, you know, European champions. We're going to get destroyed. Look what happened. You know, they couldn't, you know, I know that they had stuff going on there, but whatever it is, it's still Lyon, you know? So she's phenomenal.
No, she's incredible, playing so well. And last night she was almost, it felt at times as though she was almost like head and shoulders above every other player on that pitch. Everything she did last night was brilliant. She was winning the ball. She was driving forward. She was creating chances, scoring goals. She literally did everything. It was just incredible. But obviously last night as well, I mean, we were just starting out there. The new signings, obviously three debuts last night. The goalkeeper had a solid performance. But then we had the two sort of outfield players who came on, Catherine Call and Victoria Pullover. They both made a big impression, didn't they? I thought Catherine Call in particular looked really, really, really good in midfield, didn't she? I mean, Andreas, what did you make of her performance last night? She took about 5 minutes to settle down, didn't she, and get into the game. Yeah. We lost the ball a couple of times, but then I thought she was brilliant. What a signing she's going to be.
Yeah, both needed about 3 or 5 minutes. They lost both their first ball, but then both showed their quality. And Pullover was close to scoring, I think two or three times. And Cool, her passes and the way she played in midfield. She's 90 years young, and it was her first match for a big team. So, but she showed nothing to be nervous that she needs to adapt. She came in, she needed 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then she was in and was playing what she can do best. So was a very good debut from Catherine Kuhl. And Pullover, I think she was dangerous in the attacking line, and would have been great if she had scored in her first match. But we saw what she can bring for the team, and so I think we made 2, or if you include Sabrina, 3 very good signings again in this window.
Yeah, I mean, last January, of course, we made 3 good signings as well that have all made a big impact. And looks like we may have done it again. Yeah, I mean, I think I said during the game last night, with that chance that Victoria had, I think that had she maybe been in the game a bit longer, or if she'd played a couple more games, I think she would have took a touch, settled herself and had a bit more composure. She seemed to rush it a little bit, didn't she? Because maybe the pressure got to her. But I mean, overall, I mean, Harry, what did you make of those two, their performances? Because they were quite magnificent, weren't they, both of them?
Yeah, very impressive. I mean, like Andreas said, you could see the nerves at the beginning, but I think they settle very quickly. Mm-hmm. They have a big impact. I mean, Catherine Kuhl, I think, is... So she's somebody who I'm not familiar with from previous. I hadn't heard from her before, but sort of the little research I managed to do and the people I managed to speak to, she's a really smart player. She reads the game extremely well, and that seems to be a talent, is that, you know, she was there getting the ball where she needs to after those sort of first 10 minutes, losing the first couple of balls. But then she's going for it. She's getting those balls. Another one who reminds me a bit like Kim with a ball control. And Victoria is somebody who I am more familiar with, being you know, Dutch and, you know, I mean, playing for Ajax, she's a really like physical player. She's a really physical. I mean, I remember when we played Ajax, just how physical she was. Yeah. A bit of a bully, really. But that's what we need. I mean, I love it. Yeah. I love it on our team. So I think they're both very impressive. Very, very impressive. I mean, I generally say you can't judge a new signing for the first half of the season. They need time to settle. They need time to get into the team and, you know, get used to the new dynamics and whatnot, and make new friends, all the rest of it. But settle in so fast, it's impressive. I'm really keen to see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good maybe in a way that we had these two cup games because it gives that these new girls a time to settle in, get minutes in them and get used to playing in the team before we get back to the WSL. And I think that's probably helped us out. And maybe that's why Jonas held them back in the Chelsea game and put them in these next two games to bring them in a little bit more gently. So I'm hoping that's going to proved to be a good decision. Terry says there, Frida was outstanding again. Well, yeah, she was. But all the girls looked very good and made beating Villa look easy. Yeah, they did. Plus the three newbies were outstanding. The future looks bright. The future is red and white. Indeed, that's a good little saying, isn't it? It kind of rhymes as well. And Terry says, Harry, good to see you again. We've missed you. Indeed, yeah, of course, we've missed Harry a lot. I know Matt can't be here, but he did send us a little video of his thoughts of last night's game. So we'll play that now so we can get Matt's thoughts as well on what happened last night.
Hi, everyone. Sorry I can't be there. Unfortunately, I am working tonight, so I will not be available on the podcast. So last night we had a game. Ended up being 3-0 Arsenal. Looking at the starting line, I was expecting rotation. We ended up getting rotation, which was quite good. We saw D'Angelo in goal for her debut and eventually Katrina Kuhl and Victoria Pilova also making their debuts. The goal came from Frida, Lorna Hardson, Marnham, some excellent pieces of skill and to finish it off. Then she did exactly the same in the second half. And then Caitlin Ford scoring the third goal to game set match. There was a few instances that I found quite funny during this game. The first half, the first one was Rafaela actually tackling Lehmann. She nutmegs her as Lehmann's gone to go through her, and Rafa wins the ball and clears it, which was quite funny. Jordan also running into a teammate during the first half as well. I think she was a bit confused, but it's one of those things. I think it was really well done as well, the presentation. I know it wasn't catchable on, but there is a nice little photo from Vinay and Jordan. So I think it was a bit bittersweet for her in the end, but it was a great game and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Jordan had a bit of a mixed night, really. It wasn't, she was a bit subdued, I felt. You know, maybe it was a difficult night for her, wasn't it, coming back to Meadow Park so soon after leaving. And I say I didn't feel that she had much influence on the game, whether that was due to the pressure that she maybe felt or whatever it was, I'm not sure. I mean, what did you make of her, Andreas, last night, Jordan's performance? Because she was quite subdued, I felt, in the game, wasn't she?
She had no impact on the game, but we must say that it must have been mentally a very difficult game for her. Coming back after 2 weeks at Villa, now coming back to Meadow Park where her home is. And as she always said, where her heart still is. And the next is all the Arsenal players know her very well, knew how she would act, the way she passes or where she's running. They know everything about Jordan, so she's an open book for every Arsenal player, and that made it difficult for her to. She had no impact. It was not a good match from her, but the whole Villa team was not good. Or on the other side, we were really good, and we controlled Villa very good. So therefore, it was difficult for Jordan, I think.
Yeah, it was. And I think Villa, maybe because they signed quite a lot of new players, they may be adapting a little bit to the way they want to play and all that kind of stuff. So it might take a little bit longer for them to really gel as a team, perhaps. But was you there last night, Harry? Did you see the presentation before the game?
No, I wasn't there. I was. I would love to make it, but it's quite hard on the weekdays. I was right there at the presentation that they did at the Emirates at the Chelsea match. That was lovely. We had some really good seats. We were sitting virtually right behind Chelsea bench, actually. Right next to the tunnel. So that was really lovely to see then. Jordan? Who's Jordan? She's not, don't know who she is anymore. dead to us now. She's gone. No, I'm only joking. No. She's always going to be a gooner. But the thing is, you know, I think Andreas is right. I think when she gets on that pitch, she's going to want to perform. It doesn't matter who she's playing against. She's always going to want to perform. It actually reminds me a bit of, Pep's interview? Was it last night, his interview? And he said, Mikel's, when they scored against Arsenal, that's the only time he wouldn't jump up and say it. But he's still a manager. But he's always a gunner. He's always an Arsenal fan. And you can be both. And Jordan will always be both. And, you know, I've no doubt that she'll come back to Arsenal at some capacity later on. But, you know, I think yesterday what we proved as a team is that we can deal, we can isolate that team. You know, we can stop them from doing what they're going to do. So it doesn't matter whether it's Jordan, whether it's Alicia Lehmann or whoever it might be, we can neutralise that team. And that's a credit to that's us.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, and I do think that was more the case last night, because we was on the front foot from the very start, wasn't we? We dominated the game and Villa never got going, and it was never going to be easy for Jordan to have much influence in the way the game went, because, you know, we was so much on top. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was nice to see her back, and I'm sure that, like you said, I'm sure she'll be returning again at some stage in her career, in some capacity at Arsenal, and that would be great. That would as well. But yeah, I mean, I suppose the dream last night would have been us winning comfortably and Jordan maybe getting a consolation goal in the last minute would have been, I suppose, quite nice, but it didn't happen for her. And she sort of went off, didn't she, towards the end. I don't think she's quite match fit yet, is she? Because she's not played enough. But, you know, she wants to get in the World Cup squad. She's going to have to start playing regular again, and hopefully she can do that. But yeah, as you rightly said, Harry, you know, she's gone now. We don't have to worry about Jordan. We focus on the players that we've got, and we've got some great players to enjoy as well. So
exactly. When she gets, which I hope she does, when she gets into the England squad, it'll be all about Jordan again. You know, that's part of being a fan, isn't it? We're fickle. We're fickle people.
Of course we are. We have to be. That's the way it's all about, isn't it? You know, if you can't be fickle, there's no point following the football team, is it? Let's be honest.
I don't remember Sol Campbell playing for Spurs. We hated him. And then he comes out. He's the best thing since sliced bread.
Exactly. That's how it goes, isn't it? I mean, that is football for
you. That's half the fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's all the fun, really, isn't it? So, but yeah, I mean, it was good to see her last night. A bit strange seeing him in the Aston Villa kit, I suppose. But anyway, you know, it was nice to see. But yeah, ultimately, we got through semi-final. And we'll look forward to that in a few weeks' time. And tough game. We'll talk about that maybe a bit later. But obviously, before we were due to play Aston Villa, we were supposed to play a game against Brighton. Of course, last weekend, there was quite a lot of discussion over the weather, the frozen pitches and undersoil heating, etc. So we maybe need to have a little look at that as well. I mean, I suppose that the good thing in a way was our game at least got called off before it started, unlike the Chelsea game. An absolute farce went on there. I mean, it seems as though TV is becoming more important at this moment in time. The only reason why that game went ahead is because they were worried about cancelling it because of the TV. That's the only reason that game started. Mm-hmm. Any other game without TV would have been called off three hours before kickoff. And, you know, I felt really sorry for the Liverpool fans that had travelled in the morning, set off early to get there. And it was farcical. And for a league that's, you know, supposed to be the most competitive league or one of the most competitive leagues that there is for women's football, to have that kind of thing going on is not a great it's not a great look, is it, for the league overall? And something needs to be done. I mean, Jonas made some good points, didn't he, the other day? You know, is that a priority to get undersoil heating in all the pitches? Should they be playing in the big stadiums all the time? No, I don't believe so, because half the games would be played to empty stadiums. We saw at the Emirates, the Champions League games, 5,000 crowd. You know, we're not at that stage yet where we can play at the Emirates every single game. And some of the other clubs are never going to be at that stage where they can fill the big stadiums, not for a very long time. So, I mean, what did you make of all that, Andreas? Because obviously, I mean, the Chelsea game was a total joke. We know that. But what do you think the answer is? Or do we just have to say, you know what, it's only probably going to affect 2 weeks, 3 weeks a year where it's going to be that bad, that the games are going to be affected, and just get on with it like we have done? Or do you think maybe they should look into trying to talk something out to change that in the future?
I don't know. I don't have the solution for this, because you can't say the winter has to come in December and January and we make 3 or 4 weeks break. Then if you do that, then maybe next year in February it's cold and minus degrees. So yeah, you can't say winter, you have to come in this time and then we make a break. So yeah, but what happened last weekend, it should not happen. It should not happen ever again, because it's not an amateur league. It's not grassroots football. It's professional football, and it's the top league in professional women's football in a country that is European champion. And yeah, I read a lot last weekend, and there were some people wrote there were 14 men's games postponed and couldn't be played on the weekend. It happened also to men's football, not only. Yeah, but this was amateur football for men or grassroots football, but not the professional top league. So as Biff, Beth or Emma Hayes or Frank Kirby, all their comments, they said something must change, and the FA and everybody, you can do better, you must do better, and these things should never happen again. Yeah, we can't say we play all the matches in the big stadiums, but in on a weekend like this, where you know that it's impossible to play on these small these stadiums, and there is no men's match in the big stadium, why not say, okay, we played this one in the big stadium at least with 4,000 people, but you don't need more police or officials or stewards. Hello. Yeah, so maybe they should have made an exception for this, but to start but to start a match and then say, oh, we should stop and postpone it after 6 or 8 minutes, this is something it's not, no, it should never happen again in a professional league. So even if we don't have a solution, but this was wrong, and we must learn from this. We, the FA, must learn from this, that money and TV coverage is not everything. It's the health of the players and the spectators. Yeah, everybody was traveling from Liverpool to London or from London to Brighton. It's, yeah, it's impossible to for them and yeah, the FA must do better, and money is not everything.
Yeah, they must. I mean, the thing that made me it sort of worse from the Chelsea game certainly was, if the pitch wasn't playable 6 minutes into the game, why was it playable 6 minutes before the start?
It wasn't.
No, it was nowhere near playable. And the fact that they even, I mean, the referee must have been under a lot of pressure to start the game due to the TV. He must have been, because there's no way that pitch was safe. Absolutely no way at all. And yes, it's a difficult situation because everybody's there already. Whether they called it off half an hour before the game, an hour before the game, everyone's travelled. The team have travelled, the fans have travelled. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, I suppose we live in a country where the weather is quite unpredictable. And as you said, Andreas, we can't, well, let's shut down and all of January, but we could get freezing weather in February. Sometimes we get freezing weather in March. So when do we stop? You know what I mean? We can't, you know, we just have to sometimes maybe put up with it and understand that maybe games might get called off. But we've got to try and avoid that situation that happened. I mean, Harry, what did you make of that Chelsea game? Because that was unbelievable, wasn't it, really? What
happened? Yeah, it was really shocking, actually. I told Emily to come up and join us because she is the super fan. she is the face of the women's team, isn't she? And we've got a special guest, Beth. Beth is joining us.
She's looking well. She's looking well. After
Her knees are better. Her knees are a lot better than
very
they
good. Were. She can play Sunday, maybe then. Maybe she can play Sunday.
Yes. So it's like Andrea said. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to cancel games at that kind of time. Football's a winter sport. It's a winter sport. You can get snow and ice from November all the way to March. We don't know, and climate change exacerbates it. There must be, I mean, I don't know about how much it costs to put the under grass heating. Maybe there's other solutions for that. That part I don't know. I'm not the architect. But You know, well, yeah. Whatever the solution is, it needs to be sorted. I mean, I agree with you that, you know, we can't play every match at the big stadiums. And the other side of that coin is we have to be very careful what we wish for, because the game is so accessible to kids, to young people. Mm-hmm. It's a different audience. Overall, it's a different audience.
Yes.
When it comes to see that football game. And we are a little bit, we're the anomaly in sort of older guys. I mean, there's a lot of young kids who like the game, you know, the teenagers, people in the young 20s, etc. So the game needs to be affordable and accessible, because that's the paying audience. And if we are playing every game at the Emirates, we're not going to have that interaction with the players that we do at Meadow Park. Mm. You have to be careful what you wish for on that side. Yeah. But that doesn't excuse having substandard facilities. It simply doesn't. So no. Something like King's Meadow, that game, like you said, it's money. It's TV. TV are controlling everything. And mm-hmm. and actually, it leads on to another conversation about the timing of games. I mean, how many games have been moved 2 o'clock slot to that 7:45 slot, which means the little ones can't make it. Yeah. I mean, that's way past their bedtimes. Yeah. They can't get to see the matches. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not fair. That's not. It's not, not just fair, but it's going against the audience. You know, it's so there's a lot to think about, and there's a lot for the powers to be to really change their mindset and shift that mindset. Investment starts with having proper facilities. That's number one. Yeah. So, you know, it leads to that it's a domino effect of these arguments. Why are there so many ACL injuries in women's football? It's like more than one a week. Why are these games being cancelled when they shouldn't be? So what's the facilities like there? What's the, you know, there's the TV rights. It's great to have the TV exposure. Yeah. It's massive. It's great. Wonderful. You know, Amity got the exposure with Sky Sports, but Sky Sports changed the games to 8 o'clock at night. So there's a big domino of impact here, domino effect of impact and a lot of issues that are joined. And the players are saying that needs to change. The people who are playing these matches, Viv, Beth, Fran Kirby, Emma Hayes is a really powerful figure. I mean, you know, love her or loathe, she's a great manager, but she's a powerful figure, and she's got good opinions. You know, when it comes to this, we stand absolutely united. There's my rant.
Yes. No, I mean, you're 100% correct. And this is something that needs to be looked at. And my worry a little bit is whenever the FA are involved in anything, as soon as they see pound notes in front of their face, they lose all sense of reason and what football should be about. And all they care about is what money they're going to be making from it all. And, you know, as you mentioned, the kickoff times are ridiculous. You know, you can almost excuse them playing a man's game at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, for example, like they did over Christmas or whatever, but because the men's audience is different, isn't it? It's a different audience in the stadium generally. And the women's game is a completely different crowd. It is. And they've got to understand that. It's a family event. It's a family audience, and they've got to make the kickoffs more family friendly. They can't change that just because they want to put them on TV. If you want to put it on TV, put it on TV at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Why not? Why can't you do that on a Sunday? What's wrong with doing that? Nothing's wrong with doing that. Move the other games that aren't on TV if you're going to move anything, but don't even move them. Let everybody play at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what I mean? It's crazy. And I don't know why we still live by these ridiculous rules where you can't play a game like the men's game's the same. You can't have a live game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. Why? Why not? Wouldn't everybody prefer to go to a game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and at 7 o'clock at night or half past five on a Saturday evening? No one wants to go to a game then. It's ridiculous. And the women's game even more so. None of it makes any sense. Well,
it doesn't. It makes the balance is off. They haven't got the balance right because you've got, like we just said, it's a family game. It's a family audience, right? So you look at they're trying to change the time so it appeals to the same like group of men who follow the men's football. I mean, I don't want to stereotype any groups, right? So I want to be careful what I say here, but you've got these, you know, sort of the hardcore beer drinking Arsenal men's fans, you know, and they like the 7 o'clock kickoffs because they can go to the pub first and do what they do like that. And then we're talking, it's a family game, but then these half of these football teams are doing like Peppa Pig shows in before. That's ridiculous. You know, that's diluting. That's not football. That's totally diluting our, and it, you know, it's making it childlike. And it's, we're not appealing to children. We're appealing to the audience is a mixed bunch. I mean, I don't, Emily doesn't need to see Peppa Pig. You know, Gunnosaurus is enough.
Yeah, and so she's there for the football. She's there for the, everyone's there for the football ultimately, and that's what we want to promote. You know, it's no good bringing in gimmicks to attract people to come to the stadium. We want them to come to the stadium because they enjoy the football, enjoy the atmosphere, and enjoy the experience of what it's about. And that's what it, I remember when Sky first got involved with the men's team. You had like bands playing live on the pitch before the game, and all the dancers and all that kind of stuff. They was trying to jazz it up and bring in a new audience. No, just appeal to the audience that you've got and make it right for them. And that's all you need to do. Yeah. Even more so with women's football, because the audience is a lot different. You're right. And it is, you know, and I know some people cross over, you know, we watch the men's team as well and all that kind of stuff. Lots of people do, but there is a crossover. But there is, I think there is, it's like a circle, isn't it? You know, you've got the main Arsenal fans, and then at each end, you've got the women's supporters more on this side, a little bit in the middle, and you've got the men's on that side, a little bit in the middle, haven't you? And that's sort of how it is. And that's fine. And that's, there's no problem with that. But when, you, like you said, the TV are putting it out there to the same audiences, and you can't do that because it's not going to work. It isn't going to work. But, you know, these issues are not going to be solved by a bit of cold weather, are they? Let's be honest. It's not going to make any difference to what they do in the future, unfortunately. But anyway, we've got a few more comments are coming, actually. We've got Herman in the chat. He says he's just got my Coffee American. Okay, well, that's fine. It keeps you awake. That's the main thing, which is what we like to see. Kerber said they've had some snowfall. He's in Canada, by the way, just so we're clear. Made driving very slippery. I mean, we had some cold weather last week, but we were a bit better now. Terry said, Harry, is this the singing daughter? It is indeed.
Yes, yes.
Maybe she'll give us a little song later, maybe, if we're lucky. So that's the main thing. Herman says, great to see a five-year-old getting ready to play for Arsenal in the future. Well, let's hope so. That'd be nice. The new star of the team, maybe. We'll see. Russ is in the chat as well. He says, evening, Richard, Andreas, everyone. How are you doing, Russ? Good to see you. Herman says there, the global climate experts are wrong with the footballers' temperatures. Well, I don't know. They seem to think it's heating up. It doesn't seem to be heating up much at the minute, does it? Let's be honest. I suppose in Canada, you'd quite like it to maybe be a bit warmer sometimes because it can get quite chilly there, can't it? And Terry says, spot on, Harry. TV don't care about the fans. No, they've never cared about the fans, have they, ever. So they're not going to start now, let's be honest, no matter what we do about it. Again, we've got a little video from Matt just about the postponement of the game at Brighton. So let's listen to what Matt had to say about it.
So, obviously, before that game, we were also meant to take on Brighton. That was a bit of a problem as it got called off a bit too little too late, if we're all honest. I would have quite liked to have seen some sort of option or them telling up fans in advance there is an opportunity that it's not going to be called off, which Arsenal did for the Villa game, and a lot of fans made that trip, and in the end a lot of them were in the, managed to watch the men's take on Manchester United. And what a lovely gesture it was from Lotta Vuben Moy, who actually put some money behind the board, the bar even, and just said to the fans, by the way, get some cranberry juice and crisps. I won't go into too much on that, but it was a really good gesture. And let's be honest, it wasn't a cranberry juice and crisps. It might have been a couple of bags of crisps, but it wasn't definitely cranberry juice, that's for sure. Yeah, it's an odd one, but it's another game that we've got to now win, as Man United won their game, as did Chelsea. So we now have two games in hand above everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't help us in that sense, did it? We had an opportunity to have got level with Chelsea had we won that game. But anyway, we can't do anything about the weather, as we know. Weather is what it is. So, you know, we'll have to deal with that as it comes around. But yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get the game played, which was a shame. But anyway, they're not going to change the issues based on that, are they? Unfortunately, we need to, you know, we just need to deal with it, I suppose, when it happens, because it is quite rare. Let's be honest, that cold spell that we have in this country is quite rare, really. Overall, in the winter, we may get two or three weekends at worst that it's going to affect, isn't it? So maybe we just have to swallow it and say, yeah, just put it in place early. It was good what they did during the week, wasn't it, for the Aston Villa game. They warned everybody there's going to be a pitch inspection. The game could have a doubt. They had their pitch inspection early. They said it was on, and it was happy days. Maybe that's the way to do it in future. Deal with it earlier. Yes. Look at the situation. Understand that it's cold. Let's see what we're doing. Try to stop people travelling unnecessarily. That's the answer, isn't it, maybe? But it doesn't happen very often, I suppose. Anyway, looking ahead, there's another cup game on Sunday, and the weather seems fine. I'm sure this game's going to go ahead as well as last night. And it's the lowest-ranked team left in the competition that we face. So it's a pretty good game for us to look forward to. I mean, I don't know too much about Leeds. I know they're in the third tier, so they're, you know, obviously they're not full-time professionals or anything like that. And it is a game that we should win fairly comfortably if we want to take it seriously, play a strong team. I mean, Andreas, do you think there'll be a lot of team changes? I think that the new girls might well start this game, actually, to give them some time. And if they do, be a good opportunity for them to really settle down quickly, won't it? And maybe score some goals, because Leeds should be there for the beating, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it's a perfect draw and the perfect time to play against a team like Leeds from the third tier. It gives Jonas the chance to rotate, to start maybe the new signings, Victoria and Catherine. And we must take it serious because it starts with 0-0 and everybody in the whole country would laugh about us if we don't qualify against Leeds or maybe... Yeah, we have to go to penalty shootout or whatever. So take it serious, but it shouldn't be a problem to win. And it doesn't matter whether we win 3-0 or 6-0. What counts in a knockout match is that we qualify for the next round. This should be possible under every normal circumstance. And I hope to see our new signings and players like Kim or Frida maybe get some rest, and it's a chance to rotate, to give others minutes and to rest the players who have played a lot in the last weeks, because the next weeks will be very busy, and with the postponed Brighton match, now the Man City Continental Cup semi-final, there are really serious matches coming ahead, so it's the perfect time to play a third tier club in FA Cup. So
I mean, you're right. I mean, I went to the Newcastle women's game recently when they played in James's Park, and they're in the division below Leeds, and you know, it was a good game and I enjoyed it, but you could see the level of the football being part-time players was a very like much below the WSL, and having experienced that game, I've sort of got some sort of idea of the sort of level Leeds will be at. And yes, it's an opportunity to rest some players, give some players some minutes as well, and we should still win the game fairly comfortably. What will be your score prediction, Andreas? Just, you know, I know it's difficult to know exactly what team we'll put out, but I mean, what would your prediction be? We've had some big wins in the FA Cup before, haven't we?
Yeah, but I don't expect too many goals, so I think, it will depend when we score the first goal and how long Leeds can keep the nil. Let's say we'll win 5-0, and this would be really okay. Not too high for the opponents, because for them it's the match of their life. We read about this contact Leeds player had with Leah Williamson. She said it's a dream come true for her to play against the England team captain, and she asked whether they can change shirts after the match. So it's the match of their life, and I think 5-0 would be a good result for us, but also a good result for Leeds.
Yeah, I mean, we've not maybe been scoring enough goals lately, so it's an opportunity to get a few, maybe. I mean, Harry, what are you anticipating ahead of this game? Because it's a strange game in a way, because obviously we're going to be massive favourites to win, and anything other than a comfortable victory would seem a little bit of a bad result in a way. But it's a good opportunity, isn't it, for some of these girls to get more minutes on the pitch and for the new ones to integrate more into the team. So it's a good opportunity for that, isn't it, as much as anything else?
Yeah, I agree. just think, knowing what Jonas is like, I expect him to be pretty ruthless in terms of, you know, tactics. But I mean, stranger things have happened in terms, you know, they could still beat us. It surprises like that have happened in the past with any team. I don't expect Jonas to sort of field a weaker team. I'm expecting him to start some of the new players, Katrine and Vicky Pulova. I think we're going to win big, though. I really think it's going to be a drive to score goals and almost like a practice, like just see what you can do. How he likes to press, doesn't he? So
yeah,
I imagine we're going to press. And I think that once you've got two goals under the belt, then it's like floodgates open, because it goes defensive. Leeds go all defensive. It'll be 7-0, 8-0. It would just be ruthless. That's what I think. That's my prediction. We'll be there on Sunday. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It'll be a good game. There's no doubt about that. It'll be a good game to watch. And yeah, I kind of agree. I think when it comes to full-time professionals at the very top of the game and part-time players lower down the pyramid, fitness is a big issue. Arsenal do play a very high-energy game, and you'd imagine that's going to wear Leeds down quite early on. They're going to get tired, and as the game wears on in the second half, I can see us scoring a few goals. I kind of agree. I wouldn't be surprised if it is a 6 or a 7 or an 8, something like that, you know, because towards the end, I think Leeds will run out of legs, definitely. And we've got the players, obviously, to take advantage of that. So it'll certainly be a good game to watch, I'm sure. And, you know, ultimately in a cup game, all we want to do is get through. And it doesn't matter whether we win 1-0 or we win 10-0, ultimately, let's be in the next round. And let's, you know, so far we're in the semi-final of the Continental Cup, quarter-final of the Champions League. We're, you know, at 3 points off the top of the WSL, the game in hand. Let's get an FA Cup run going. Let's challenge for everything this season. You know, we've got a good squad now, and let's do it. Let's go for everything. So, yeah, I'm expecting us to swat Leeds aside without too many problems, if I'm totally honest. Bargab's in the chat there. He says, what's it going to take to compete with Barcelona women? Not going to lie, we are, so we figure out ways. To be honest with you, I'm not worried about anybody, actually. We beat Lyon 5-1. I know it was a slightly different circumstances, but why couldn't we beat Barcelona this season? I think we're a better team now. I think we've settled more into Jonas's style of playing. And if we get drawn against Barcelona in the Champions League at some stage, I wouldn't be worried as I was last year. I had a feeling last year they would beat us comfortably. This year, I think we can give them a game. So, yeah, no, don't worry about Barcelona. You know, look at our team. Look how great we're playing at the minute. Look,
some of the great players I'm worried about.
No, who are you worried about?
Wolfsburg.
No, don't worry about Wolfsburg.
They're the ones I'm more worried about. I think they've got a really strong team. And
yeah, I mean, they have, obviously. But no, I'm not really worried about anyone, if I'm honest. I think I'm not saying we can win the Champions League. I'm not saying that we will. But what I'm saying is I think we can compete with pretty much anybody now. I think we can compete. And I think last year, Wolfsburg, you know, they physically out-muscled us in that second leg, didn't they? And that's why they got through. Yes. I think we've learned from that. And I don't think that would happen again. I think if they beat us, they'd face a lot firmer test this season if we get to play them or whoever we get to play, I think. So, but we'll see. That's all for the future, isn't it? The Champions League coming up. We've got a lot of big games before that. We have to win, say, starting on Sunday. But yeah, I think we'll win comfortably. And it'll be an enjoyable game to watch, won't it, when some goals fly, and hopefully some goals fly. But as Harry said, it's 90 minutes. Anything can happen. Cup shocks happen, don't they? We've seen it plenty of times. So I would be amazed if we didn't win. Terry there has gone 6-1, Steena hat-trick. Well, I don't know about 6-1. 6-0, maybe 6-0. So we'll see. Bargav there's put a super chat in for $5. Thank you very much, my friend. He says, big up the channel. Great stuff. Excited for the game in an hour. Yeah, we're all excited for the game. The FA Cup game coming up, Arsenal Man City. We'll be covering that a bit later as well. Just got the team news in. We'll go through that after this show as well. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. Herman says there, we should have pubs and coffee houses around the stadium so the fans can enjoy the game. They just watched it. I mean, Meadow Park's slightly different, isn't it? It's sort of, it's a little bit out of the sort of town centre, isn't it, slightly? So it's a little bit isolated from that. Obviously, the Emirates has got loads of stuff around it when we play there.
You got McDonald's at best.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's about it, isn't it, really? I mean, to be honest, even in Boreham Wood, town centre's not exactly overly stacked with nice places to go, unfortunately. But anyway, you know, it is what it is. You know, go to the game, that's all you need to do. Go in the stadium, watch the game and go home. There you go. It's sorted, isn't it? The job's done. That's all you need. So, yeah. But we've got Colonel in chat as well. He says, hi, guys. Hope you're well. Looking forward to the game. Like, yeah, we're all looking forward to the game later as well. We'll be doing it on the other stream. So please switch over and join us for that at about 7:45. Colonel says that PSG are good. I'll be worried about them. No, don't worry about anyone. Honestly, we're Arsenal. We're brilliant. We can beat anyone. We can. You know, we showed that against Chelsea last week. Yes, we ended up drawing a game, but we had enough chances to have won that game.
And Chelsha should have won that game.
We should have won that game.
We took off the ball for the last 20 minutes, but we dominate. We held them. We pressed that last 20 minutes. What are we going to do?
And we can do that against anyone else as well. If we play like that, if we press as well as that, if we create as many chances as we did in that game, I think we can beat anybody. But I know we didn't win that game. That's the only thing. We didn't beat Chelsea, but, you know, I'm sure we will. Bargav says there exactly, we are Arsenal. Yeah, that's right. We are. We're Arsenal, and we can beat anyone. You're right. Herman says there, I would like to see a game live, but the cost of it is not possible, as I don't like to sit in these small, narrow seats. Well, at Meadow Park, you can stand up behind the goal, and it's great. And you've got as much room as you like. In some games, you've got loads of room because there's not many people there. But get yourself down, Herman. Come and fly over. Come to Meadow Park. We'll look after you. And Harry will look after you. You can meet Harry's daughter as well, because she's fantastic. Come over and get to a game at Meadow Park. And I say, you'll be fine. You don't need to sit down. You can stand up behind a guy. It'll be brilliant. We'll have to sort that, because that'll be really good.
We'll save him two seats.
Yeah, we'll save, exactly. Well, yeah, we could save him two seats, so we can just stand up behind the goal or along the side. It's great. You have to come down. It's definitely worth it, because it is great fun. What we'll do, obviously, we've got the game coming up a little bit later on tonight. We want to get prepared for that as well. Matt has got some thoughts, just before we finish, on the Leeds game. So we'll give Matt his opportunity. He sent us a video, so we need to play it, of his thoughts on the Leeds game coming up at the weekend.
Against Leeds, I am looking forward to this one. It's a very interesting chance for a couple of players to shine, potentially some youth academy players coming in as well, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's too early to call who's going to be in, but if I'm honest, I would probably have almost the same sort of squad. It will be a case of who comes into the midfield. I would probably actually have... I would probably have Katrine start. So it would be Kim, Katrine, and Frida in the midfield, and then up top it's going to be Caitlin, Lena. I would probably guess at the moment it's going to be Stina, but it's a bit worrying for me at the moment that she's not scoring any goals again. Luckily, Frida Marnham scored them yesterday, and Caitlin as well. But there needs to be, I've said it before, if she's scoring, she's fine. But if she's not, it's kind of questionable about everything that's going on with her. So I'm hoping that she picks up some form. If she does score one or two, take her off and bring on Gio. That's the other option. Gio can play up front on that game, or we might see Caitlin play up top. That's the other option as well, because I'm sure that's what happened when Stina went off last night as well.
Yeah, I mean, Matt did actually put his score prediction in as well on a separate little video. He said 3-0, so very similar to what Andreas has said. So there you go. Great minds think alike. Well, me and Harry are going a little bit more braver with our score prediction, predicting quite a lot of goals coming in. Herman says, I used to fly a lot. Thanks, guys, but I am busy with my music schedule. Thanks for the invite. Well, any time, I'm sure, you know, if you get some time at some point, come over. It'd be great to see you. Colonel says, well, it's non-league ground, like Welling United. It's good small atmosphere at these grounds. I agree. I think at this moment in time, women's football needs to be at the smaller grounds with that more close atmosphere. I think it's better like that at this moment in time. Obviously, in a few years, I'm sure there'll be the crowds there to enjoy the bigger crowds at the bigger stadiums more regularly. I mean, we filled the Emirates out three times this season already, didn't we, in the WSL? And that's a sign of the future, maybe. But I don't want to lose that special kind of atmosphere. I mean, Meadow Park has got... It's special, isn't it? I mean, Harry, you know that more than any of us, really. You know, it's such a special atmosphere there, isn't it? And I wouldn't want to lose that, really, would you?
Yeah, this is my point about being very careful what you wish for. The investment needs to be there, absolutely. The the pay needs to be there. All those factors need to change, but you have to be very careful that you don't, you know, you balance that, that exposure, the money side of it, with that interaction and that, that environment. Meadow Park's a brilliant place. I think we play better at Meadow Park. I think it's a bit of a fortress for us. It's it's the girls' home. It's you know, you can hear everything when you're there. It's so great. So, you know, possibly the solution is to build another stadium that is just sort of an in between. That's an Arsenal owned stadium. Sure. Like what? I mean, if you ever get to King's Meadow, I hate to say it, but I mean that's a brilliant stadium. It's a really, really good environment there, and the they got all the flags up. They've got the real cool atmosphere there. You know, it could be upgraded a bit, but that's the kind of thing that we need. So, you know, maybe for Arsenal to buy Borum, I don't know, you know,
a real home. Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah, I mean,
I don't want to lose that. I definitely don't want to lose that.
Herman says, could they enlarge Meadow Park? Well, maybe potentially. Obviously, we don't own it. We just rent it at the moment. That's the issue.
They've just revamped, haven't they? They've done a massive revamp of it.
Yeah, and they, I think they're going to. There's more work in the process, but it isn't really expanding it, is it? It's just improving it.
Improving the facilities. Quite,
yeah, improving the facilities, which was needed. But yeah, it could do with having more, you know, a bigger crowd, enabling in more seats and all that kind
of
stuff.
Improve the security. Some of the security guards, they're awful.
Yeah, it can be a bit like that, yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's work to do. There's no doubt about that in, you know, not just with us in our ground, but I think in women's football in general, there's work to be done. But I agree, we don't want to lose that special touch. I mean, Andreas, you love Meadow Park as well, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, it's great facility, but it's... some things should have been done at Meadow Park to make it more our home. I said this some months ago. When you arrive at Borehamwood, you don't see any signs Meadow Park, the home of Arsenal women, or something like that. And when you come to Meadow Park itself, it's just a football stadium, but not the home of the Arsenal women. As Harry said, the King's Meadow is, you see it, it's the home of Chelsea women. So in MR we trust and what they have there, it's different. And of course we don't own Meadow Park, but I think we pay a lot of money for Borehamwood FC, so they should allow us to make it more like a home for our women's team. Like Academy Stadium, the capacity with 7,500, this could be the right capacity for the next 2-3 years for women's football. I think the 4,000 at Meadow Park, it's a bit too small for the big matches. If we play City there or the Champions League matches, 4,000, 4,500 is too small. And Emirates is too big for us at the moment. And as Harry said, we lose this special atmosphere, this contact between players and the fans, this interacting. This is possible at a smaller stadium like Meadow Park. And we noticed this funny story from yesterday when fans were shouting to Hannah Hampton, Mary Earps is better than you. And she turned around and said, yes, she is. So this is possible in such a small stadium and this familiar atmosphere. I like Meadow Park, even if it's more difficult to go there with a train and then 20 minutes walk. But it's, I like it there. And it's good that we are playing there for most of our home matches.
I mean, this season so far, I think it's pretty much 50-50 split, isn't it? Half at Meadow Park, half at the Emirates. But I think over the second half of the season, obviously, there'll be less because of the Champions League games and all that kind of stuff. But no, I agree. I mean, it is a great stadium. It is a great place. But yeah, maybe they need to... Maybe if we could own the stadium, or if we can get to that point where we can buy the stadium, maybe then we can make it more like Arsenal's home and expand it a little bit, make a bigger crowd available there and stuff like that in a few years' time. But I don't want to lose that atmosphere that there is, because it's what makes it special, why we all love it, isn't it? So, you know, but yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with it all. But it's I mean, I say it was a good game last night. We got the victory. There is still a little bit of transfer window open. Do you think we'll bring anyone in just quickly, Andreas? Anyone else do you think is going to come in between now and next week, Tuesday?
I hope so. I still think we need a striker, and the squad depth is the thing that divides us from Chelsea. So of course, if every player is fit, we have a great team, we have a great squad, but there will be injuries in the second part of the season, and then we will get problems. And and we have the situation with Stina lacking self-confidence. She's not scoring goals at the moment, so maybe another striker and the chance to rotate, this would be good. So I hope there will be a new signing in the last 4 days. And as I said, I think something will be done with the goalkeeper situation, because we won't go into the second half of the season with four goalkeepers. So
you would imagine that's going to be the case. Herman there, Russo, he says, well, that's the dream, isn't it? That is the dream, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. I mean, Harry, no. Do you think we're going to bring anyone else in now, between now and next Tuesday?
I honestly don't know. I can't say I've heard any rumours of anything. I know Russo's name's come up a few times, so there's a possibility there. I think I hear she's leaving United. I've heard the rumours she's on her way out of United. Where she's going after that, I don't know. I mean, it would be great if she came this way, but maybe that's... I don't know. I have no idea. Got no clue.
We could do it with a striker, though, couldn't we? Let's be honest.
We need it. We need it. We need a couple of backup strikers. I mean, you've got... thing is, we've got Stina, who's really good when she's on form. She is off form, and I don't know what we need to do or what she or Jonas needs to do to get her back on form, possibly just confidence, but that's, you know, that's their thing to solve. Caitlin is scoring more, but Caitlin's, to me, is not an out-and-out striker. She's an assister. Mm. She just gets that ball right in front. But then I think with Katrine Kuhl, one thing that she's talked about is how she likes to place the ball on the foot of the striker. And that's something that Stina likes to... She needs that. She likes that. She doesn't like to... Like, whereas Viv likes to have the ball a bit more in front of her and then goes to it and then does her sort of fancy footwork and scores. Stina likes the ball being placed right in front of her. And so possibly that link up between Katrine and Stina will work better than it has done previously. Obviously, between other people. So
I mean, knows? I think... Like- Yeah. I think you're right. I think last night when Katrina put that ball through for Pullover, if that had been Stina onto that, I think she would have took a touch and scored, because she's very good in those situations. She hasn't had many of them recently because she's not getting the ball played through to her. So that you may well be right. That could reinvigorate Stina's season, actually, couldn't it? Having her just behind there to thread them balls through, because that's what she loves, doesn't she? She loves getting onto them balls and running through. So
I think a hat trick from Stina on Sunday will change the game.
That would be great.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, and you know, potentially, it's there, isn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, if you're a top striker and you're playing against a team two, three divisions below you at home, you got to expect to score some goals, haven't you? So let's hope that she can, and that may be the thing that gets her confidence back, and she'll be flying after that. Let's hope so, because you know, I kind of miss Dina scoring. I think she's playing well, but she needs a goal or two or three, doesn't she? Let's hope she can do it for us on Sunday. And we progress through in the FA Cup as well, which is so important because, you know, it's another trophy to win, isn't it? Let's win them all. That's what I want to do. I don't like going out of cup competitions. I just want to win everything. So let's just win. So anyway, we're going to go because we've got another game to watch very, very shortly. And I know we all want to watch that. We don't want to miss that. Terry says, Stina is class. We're not feeding her the right passes at the moment. Stina's movement. So I agree. I think her movement's brilliant. And I think with the right passes, she's going to score a bucket load of goals. Her scoring record's good enough anyway, let's be honest. She's got a lot of goals. But that's something we'll look at over the next few weeks as Katrina fits into the team. Just before we go then, Andreas, good to see you again. I know it's been a bit of a quick show. We've had to rush through because TV again. You see TV ruining our life, making games kick off a few times on a Friday. But what can you do? We just have to get on with it.
TV is dictating everything. If it's not for the women's game now, today is for the men's game. Yeah, but I think we all want to see the match, and we hope we hope to reach the next round in FA Cup for the men too. Would be great to win at City's ground, yeah.
No, it would be incredible, yeah. I mean, it's a big game tonight. And, you know, Arsenal women on Sunday don't have quite as difficult a game as the men do tonight. But, you know, who knows? It's the FA Cup. I mean, Harry, as well, great to see you again. Good to see you on the show. Hopefully you can come on again very soon. I know Friday's going to be tricky for you. We'll maybe have to start a bit earlier, maybe in the future, so we can get you on again.
Yeah, I'd love to. I enjoy it. I always enjoy it. It's wonderful. And it's nice for little Lamley to come on once in a while and say hi.
Yes, it was nice to see her as well.
We'll have to get her opinions on everything. I don't know if she has any, but we'll see.
Well, it doesn't matter. She left something to say, I'm sure. She normally does. So I'm not
sure she left it mainly.
Yeah. Well, we're nice to see you. Yeah, no, it's great. Obviously, it's great to see you. And I say we're going to go and hopefully enjoy the Arsenal game. It might be difficult to enjoy it. It depends on how it goes, really. But we'll be back, obviously. Switch over to the other stream, which will be starting in about 10 minutes to preview the game and get going with that. So I'm back for that. I'll be back Sunday with a watch-along for the Leeds game. Kick-off at 2 o'clock, isn't it? So I'll be live about 1:45 with all the build-up to that. And then next week, again, busy week. Monday, we'll have the review show looking back on the Man City game, looking ahead to all the other great stuff that's coming up. And we'll be back, hopefully, our usual spot next Friday for the women's show, at usual time, hopefully, if TV don't get in the way and decide to put something on that's going to, you know, make it difficult for us. But usually we say the weekend starts when this show finishes, but this week it doesn't, because the weekend won't start until the after game against Man City's finished. So we've got another couple of hours yet to wait, but it'll be worth it in the end, I'm sure. We look forward to that. So thank you all you guys for watching, all you guys in the chat as well. It's been great. Thanks to Bargo as well for the super chat. Much appreciated, my friend. And hopefully we'll see you on the other stream very, very shortly. Thank you to Andreas, of course, as always. Thanks to Harry. Thanks to Matt as well for his contributions on video tonight. He couldn't be here, but he was still here. He still contributed to the show, which was great. So thanks for that, Matt, as well. We'll see you very soon. I'll be back in about 10 minutes on the other stream. We'll see you soon. In the meantime, take it easy. And, of course, as always, come on, you Gunners. See you later, guys. Thanks a lot, guys. Speak to you soon.
Yeah. Bye.
Running there of Beth Mead. Beth Mead's in behind, plays it across. Caitlin Ford's going to score, and she has scored. This fast start has been rewarded for us.